guys. So I did that. I read chapter 3, part 11 and 12. And just summary points that I got out of it is, first, we cannot know our maker because of our limited... First, St. Athanasius was saying we cannot know our maker because of our limited nature. So he has to give us the knowledge to know him. So he took pity on us so that our existence is not purposeless. So if we were created and we did not know who created us or we had no knowledge of who our God is, it would have been like we were animals. We don't know, we don't have knowledge, we don't have the knowledge to love him. And yeah, so he was saying, what's the point of making us if we don't know who made us? And then he was saying, how could be in his image, rational and reasonable, and not have the ability to know our creator? That makes us different from an animal who has a soul and can feel pain, and a chair who doesn't have a mind, soul, who's just an object. So, and he goes on saying that we left God to worship other gods, but still God had pity on us and he did not hide himself from us. And he manifested himself in three ways. First way, he was saying that anybody can know God through looking at his creation. And the second part, you can also know God by listening to the prophets. God never, like we say in the liturgy, never left us, always visit us with your prophets. And they could also just follow the law because, and this is from the book, the law and the prophets were a sacred school of the knowledge of God and the conduct of spiritual life for the whole world, not just for the Jews. And then, and he goes to say that God is made us to enjoy him and not to drift away from him like back then in the Old Testament they did. And he compares God to an earthly king who, even if he was, like, after he has his lands, if someone comes and conquers it or anything, he would also be upset. So the same thing, if his creation came and bowed to other gods who created us, it's still, he's saying if an earthly king is upset, like, what would God do? Upset, like, it's a limited word, but... And then he goes on to say that he can't just destroy us because we're in his image. So I'm not sure if this is, I'm going to stop soon because I'm not sure if this is part of 13 or not, but I'll say the last part and that's it. He can't destroy us because we are created in his image, so he had to come and renew that image. And then he goes on to say that a man couldn't renew that image because he's not the source of the image. Then an angel couldn't renew that image because he's not the image of God. Angels are not the image of God. They're just creatures. And he goes to say that Jesus himself needed to come because he is the image of the Father, and he needed to come himself, the source of the image, to renew our image. And that's it.
So essentially, part 13 and 14, we've kind of touched on them with Mariam already. Saying that God can just ignore the fall of man, because then what would be the benefit to God if man had fallen and could not worship him? And then it wasn't right that those who once shared in God's image should perish afterwards. So God couldn't let that happen, essentially. And then God incarnated then because it was only God who would be able to recreate man in his image. Man couldn't do it himself. And like Mariam said, angels couldn't do that because they're not in the image of God. And then in order to recreate man, he had to do away with death and corruption, and only he could do that himself. So in 14, he goes on and gives the example of an artist who makes a painting, and then there's a stain on the painting, so they don't throw away the painting. They get the subject to come again and sit down, and then they redraw and fix the parts that were messed up, but they don't throw away and restart from you, essentially. So that's the reason God came and dwelt with man, to renew the spoiled image instead of making another creation. And then the other point will be to address the insufficiency of man. He was addressing the point of why could man not teach the world about God and the Father himself? Like, why couldn't man do it? And he goes on to say that man was already lost and could not self-motivate, let alone try to convince other creations or other men. And man cannot run everywhere all over the world, and the world wouldn't carry any real weight to them. And if they did, they would be no match for evil spirits. And he's saying, moreover, since even the best of men were confused and blinded by evil, how could they convert the souls and minds of others? You cannot put straight in others what is warped in yourself. Then he goes on to explore if there is possibly any other way that it could be done without reincarnation, saying like, or without incarnation, he's saying, what about like creation? Does creation itself speak to the glory of God, and could creation bring people to the knowledge of God? And he's saying that creation itself is insufficient because it's been there since the beginning of time, and men have shied away from heaven and went in the other direction, essentially. So creation itself wasn't enough to get man to know God. So the only person that could lead humanity in the other direction then would be an incarnated God, and through his actions done in the human body, on the level of the human body, he teaches those around him who would not learn by other means to know God and to know himself, and through him and through the Father.
So just to follow up on what Bessem said at the end, is that men tended to look at creation and contemplate and try to find God within the creation and not look above to seek him. So in his humility, what God did, because he understood that this is the level that men or people at this time were trying to look for him, is that he came down to become he himself as an object to them. So for example, to try to connect them to the Father through himself, to meet them halfway in the ways that they were seeking him in nature. So for example, if men were drawn by like how awesome nature is, and the sea and the heaven and all that, he showed them that these natural things, they obey him. So again, he's drawing their attention to himself through nature. If they tended to regard men as God and worship men as God, then through Christ's works, he basically taught them or showed them that he is God. So again, they were looking for a God that is also a man. Well, that's perfect for Christ. Another example, if they were drawn to evil spirits and they were afraid by them, and they didn't understand, when they saw that Christ is casting out demons and things like that, again, he drew their attention to himself through this means of the evil spirits. If men were attached to the cult of the dead and they didn't understand what's death, what happens after, you know, when Christ himself rose from the dead, again, he drew their attention to himself as the only, you know, the only person they knew who rose from the dead. So again, he was trying to speak with them or to meet them halfway in the natural world. And by doing that, he eclipsed, or he basically showed that his deeds were much bigger and much greater than any other deed that any other man has done, in order to introduce them to the Father through himself in natural means.
Okay, so my notes are kind of like me and Natalie Fried's notes, because we were doing it together, but she wasn't able to come, so forgive me if it's a bit all over the place. I had to read it a few times because I don't know if anyone else like understood it right away, but I didn't. So I had to read it a few times, but there's a few things that struck, so I'll just mention those things and I'll keep it short. So he starts off when he says, when then the minds of men had fallen finally to the level of sensible things, the Word submitted to appear in a body, and in order that he, as man, might center their senses on himself. So basically he's saying, when humanity became kind of, they lost their sense of things that are celestial and things that are heavenly, that's when Christ came to kind of be the best of both worlds, in other words, I guess. He pretty much came to remind them of humanity and godliness all at once, so showing them that not only is he human, but he is also God. Sorry, I just put up notes. So he showed us that he's not only revealing himself as man, but he's revealing himself as God, and he showed us what is beyond human knowledge. That he is more than what we can understand, especially when it comes to understanding God's love for humanity. So he quotes St. Paul, and he says, the verse that says, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be strong and apprehend with all the saints what is the length and breadth and height and depth, and to know the love of God that surpasses knowledge, so that ye may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Especially when he says the fullness of God, it implies that God can be full or limited. So in this sense, it's just talking about how God's love for humanity was so, it surpasses what we understand, and it's, we can't contain his love in a box. And how he describes it, how he quotes St. Paul saying the length and breadth and height and depth is all these different measurements that still can't encapsulate God's love for humanity. Then he talks about God not just coming to earth just to die and resurrect. He did a lot more than that. So he didn't just come on earth and like come as a man and then go right to the cross and then resurrect right away. So he says if he had done this, then none of his work would have been revealed, and none of what we learn about Christ would have been known. So like his works and everything. So basically starting from his birth up to when he was crucified, so his whole ministry. So we know, like, oftentimes we know that his ministry started from age 30 to 33, like those 3 years that are concentrated. However, we all know that it all started as soon as he was born. Like, his very birth, his incarnation, was a lesson to all of us about humility and about love and about all those things. So basically, if he had just come to die and resurrect, then we wouldn't have understood his purpose, and we wouldn't understand what it means to be Christian. So when he came and when he died and resurrected, after that, after doing all his works and everything, then we understood all his missions, I guess. So and all those rooted in love, which means putting away death, so abolishing death, renewing us as human beings, so eradicating the sin of Adam. And God being invisible and imperceptible and incomprehensible and all these things, becoming visible in the form of Christ and making himself known to us by his works, and establishing his kind of status to us as the king. So taking something heavenly that people didn't understand, especially at the time, for the people that were around Christ, they were mostly all illiterate and like they didn't really understand a lot of things. So taking something so high and so celestial and bringing it down to our level so that he can bring us to God's level. So it kind of reminded me of the quote that God became man so that man may become God. So instead of like, and this also reminds me of different faiths that expect everyone to elevate, but in our faith, God comes down to us and then brings us up with him. So,
okay, thank you, Sammy. Okay, thank you, everyone, for your nice preparation. And I'll ask you a question, just like to make it probably more practical and pragmatic what we are doing so far. So the question is, are we right now living with the restored image that God wanted and
Are we living now in the likeness and image of God? Yes? No? Of course. Like you pick. Okay. So is like you see now in me, Samir, you see the pure image that God created, the first man, the reflection of the holiness of God. You see it in me? Thank you very much. Thank you, Sarah. Oh, thank you, everyone. Okay. Let's make it.
Nobody's perfect, right? Like, nobody's perfect, but okay. It's all about how we are trying to get there, right?
So we're not still.
Like it's like life is a it's a journey. Like we don't have a point, right? Like we say like on this day and this hour, I have been completely changed, right? Like it's continuous. Like we fall, we get back up. But as long as we do that, then we're on the way. Well, other people they just fall and they stay up.
Okay. Yes. Are we restored back? Yeah, so your answer, like both of you, your answer is like really like it's in the middle, right? Like, okay. Mariam Rafi. It's important.
Under the sentence of death, still.
Are we still under the sentence of death? Okay, so yeah, okay. You're both right. But the question is, why? Like, if this whole drama unfolded before our eyes, and we're not bearing this restored image, so what is missing? I'll give you an example. Like, you know, if we say that HIV, AIDS, it kills people, right? And then I come with a treatment and I say, I invented a pill, that's it. It's gonna cure HIV. No one anymore will die from HIV. And I have the pill, okay? Exactly. So that's probably the answer. Like if I came up I invented the pill, and I know there is a cure for this fatal disease, and I can give it to people, that's not it. Until they take it, and let's say that, you know, it's not just like, you know, one pill that you're going to take. It's a course of medication that you're going to go through to be cured, right? So that's the thing. So that what happened makes sense into our life. If I have AIDS and I know that there is a medication, but I don't go and take it, lost the whole point, right? So the same thing here, the restored image will happen when we just like, you know, take this Christ and don't take his history as history and knowledge, but take it as way of living, right? When we start to change our life, and that's why I like what you said, and we are in our journey where we're struggling to become more and more in his likeness, right? So this, everything you said is great, but until I really like adopt this as something to live with, we're still, yes, under the sentence of death.
As well, like Earth is corrupted, right? It's under the rule of Satan, so we have to wait until there's new Earth and a new kind of spirit.
couple of days ago, I had a discussion with like a few youth, and I was telling them, like, if someone comes to us and asks us about this, like, you know, incarnation thing, and like, you know, try to explain it to them. Like, we had probably like 1 hour discussion, but the summary of it, because we struggled to, like, how are we going to convey this to others who are probably non-believers? But at the end, we agreed that, like, maybe the best thing that's gonna work is if we just, like, don't stop at the level of the knowledge, like, you know, telling them a story that is not gonna make any sense to them. If you go to people who are not in the faith and you tell them about what we have been preparing, they will look at you as like, you still believe in this, like, you know. But so we said, I remember Hatta, we said, we don't speak like knowledge, speak to their heart. How do you speak to their heart? By you yourself, like, you know, if you have the love of God flows through us to cover the others, it changes their life. To be honest with you, it's not even my man-made love, like, you know, I'm going to be nice to Abuna, and then I'm going to be nicer to Basim or Sammy. No, I'm talking about the love that flows, the love of God that flows in me and just, like, touches the life of everyone around me. This is enough to cure people. And this is how Jesus actually, this is how Jesus converted hearts. By his immense love, like, he managed to bring, like, even the worst sinners back to his home, right? So us, if we try to just, like, stop at the level of the knowledge and we don't live what we have heard, we're not going to change the world. We're not going to change ourselves, and we're not going to change the world. It's only when we are living in depth and like, you know, making this journey a true spiritual struggle, this is when, like, you know, we allow the Holy Spirit in us to work, and this Holy Spirit is the power that can convert others.
Just a question. So, like, let's say in a practical way, right, like we're at work, or those who are at school, or whatever, and you have two people. One of them is a Christian, okay, and he's acting with love, and all of his Christian, like, spirits and the Christian love towards other people, okay? And the other person is not a Christian at all, but he's acting also in a very moral way and a very loving way towards other people, okay? So these two are doing the same kind of actions, like helping others and whatnot. How is that other person that's receiving these good actions is gonna differentiate, like, he's gonna say, for example, yeah, person A is doing this because he's a Christian, so I'm gonna be more interested in knowing about Christ and all that stuff. But the other person did the exact same thing. Like, the action is the same. Like, if we're not preaching to them, but we're just living by actions, how is that person receiving the good deed or receiving the love is gonna differentiate between the two? Like, I'm a Christian, I'm doing something nice towards you. Mm-hmm. Dina is not a Christian. And she's doing the exact same nice gesture towards you.
So, like, how do I, by looking at both of you, how do I say you're Christian?
You're gonna say, like, both of these people are nice, but how is my action gonna be different than hers? Because I'm a Christian to you.
Differentiate between, okay, I'm a Christian, how I can show really Christ inside me if there are some people, other people, they show the same ethics, for example, love?
The way I look at it is this. Like, don't forget that, again, we said we are, God created us in his image, and this is true. So, like, man has the power to come up with things, you know, to invent, to improve, because this is what God can do too, right? Of course, we are limited, He is not, but you can, I'm not going to say fake love, but you can produce love that you think this is like an eternal love. No, it's not. I've seen people who give love, but it has a limit. Now, God's love is different. It's without limit, okay? That person that you're talking, and I dealt with lots of people who are lovely. They give love, but believe me, it's a love made with a human, like, you know, nature. Same thing as joy, as peace. We can have peace together, but it has a limit. So everything that we could, as human, come up with, it's nice, it's beautiful, but it will stop at what at one level. It cannot be limitless. Now, if I have the Holy Spirit in me, this is what makes the difference. It's going to be a love that's just like, even if you want to trample me, even if, like, at work, you want to probably do something bad to take my position, I will still have love and peace and joy. This is not going to change. That person that you said, they are not Christian. As long as things are going well, they are very nice. But you never know if things go wrong with them, what's going to happen. So for Christians, to be honest with you, and that's why I said that, like, we are not going to be saved by our works. We are going to be saved, of course, like, you know, God, as we said, we were talking about the salvation, God made the whole world. We have to accept this gift, and we have to live with it. And it has to come with fruits. So the fruit that comes in my life, it's not my fruit anymore. It's the fruits of the Holy Spirit. This is the crucial point. This is the crucial, because we get confused about the works, and are we saved by the faith or are we saved by the works? We are saved by our faith. But this faith needs to have fruit. Not my fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So the word in which we live, it has fruit too, but they are very short-lived. Does it make sense? The fruit that are the fruits of the Holy Spirit, they are not short-lived. Abuna, would you like to add something? I'll tell you about an experience I went through. When I was working at the hospital back in Manitoba, there was a physician from Sri Lanka. And then he was religious. I think, like, he was, I don't know, Hindu or something like this. So he came to me one day and he said, I was on call. And he said, would you mind we talk about just like religions? And I said, sure. And then he started the discussion, and it took us probably like more than an hour. And I remember there were, like, you know, two nurses sitting. It was like 6 o'clock, so we were having dinner, and the emergency was not that busy, so we were just like sitting quietly. And then he chose to finish his work, like, instead of going home, he wanted to talk with me about religion, which never happened before. So we sat, and as we were reading, he started talking, and the nurses actually, I remember, they said, wow, that's an intense discussion. Would you guys mind if we stay till the end? We said, oh yeah, stay. So he kept talking about how great their religion is about like abandoning all the earthly, like, you know, and cheap things and just like, you know, moving from one level of abandonment to another. And I remember the last thing, I was telling him, we have the same thing. He said, really? I said, yes, we have the same thing. We are not supposed to just like be attached to all our earthly, like, you know, desires. And like, you know, we have monks who just like give up on life and then they go just like pick severe degrees of poverty and they live with nothing, but they have everything inside of them. So he was trying to convince me that the more you abandon things, the more joyful you become. I told him, I know that. He said, you guys really believe in that? I said, oh, absolutely. That's the core of our faith, like, you know. And then at the end, I remember, because they have levels of, Yeah, no, but they have levels of, like, you know, you reach one level and then you, and then they even learn how not to be attached to even like parents or whatever, like, you know, even if, so that they are not sad if they lose their beloved ones. And so they teach themselves how to just like abandon things and not to be tied up to anything. And then at the end, I remember I told him, but what about God? He said, not even God. I said, no. I agreed with you on everything, and I told you that it is similar. But at the end, you left me in a vacuum. You left me in a vacuum. I feel lost. I prefer all what we shared. It's happening in my religion. But at the end, I am rooted in God. I'm rooted in a creator. So I feel peaceful. I feel like, you know, this tree that you see, I know that it has roots. You're trying to convince me that this tree that you see has nothing. No, that's wrong. And I remember, like, he could not answer this part. So again, like, you know, the world around us, like, you know, there are beautiful things that happen, right? But those people that you said, they are not Christian, you continue to pray for them. And by the way, if they are good enough inside, God will look for them. That's why God converted and chose people who were not, like, you know, by our definition, they shouldn't have been chosen. God chose them because he knows the hearts of them, right? So those people, like, you know, only God can touch and like, he continue to love them and deal with them with respect and show gratitude for the goodness that they are trying to do, like, you know, in their lives and the lives of the other. But until God really touches their hearts and open their eyes to see him.
As you said, God is the one who seeks every human. And I think what stops people from finding God is the fact that, just like St. Augustine was saying, like, he always asked God to show him himself, but then he always ended up with not yet God. Because he had, like, don't do it yet. Give me a couple of more time, like, days in my ordinary life, because he knows that once God finds him or he attaches himself to God, he would have to change his life completely, right? But usually you find that one person, each person has something that he's so attached to, it's just kind of cutting him from God, right? One or more things. I think that's the main difference between Christians and everybody else, because we're like a piece of puzzle that is not complete without, we search for that other piece, which is God, right? I think everybody has this inner thing that makes him see God, which in turn God seeks us first, right? But it's until that we let go of this one thing that is kind of breaking that attachment. All humans are like this. It's not about doing good. I think our doing good is just our way of not helping God, like being some hands for God. But God doesn't even need us to convert people. He's working on everybody, I think.
Through what you're saying, that every human being has a longing for the Creator, whether we like it or not. Like, you know, we're blessed to be, like, you know, Christians, and like we have all the grace of God. But all the people around us, they have a longing for a Creator. And as you said today, like, you know, people just like worship because of this vacuum inside of them, they needed to worship something, but because of the corruption inside of them, they thought that maybe the sun is God, or maybe the wood is God, or the statue I'm making is God, right? But there is this longing inside of every person towards knowing, like, you know, the origin. What's my origin, you know? And unfortunately, the devil is blinding people by making them feel that what's gonna satisfy and quench this thirst is if I give you health, if I give you things, money. And that's why, like, you know, I have people who come see me, they are depressed and miserable. And then when you look why they are, they can't put their hands on things they want. But they, when you ask them about any spiritual life, they told you, they tell you, no, we don't believe. So you know right away, like, you know, if they have things and things are going well with them, life is beautiful. But the day they don't have it, life is miserable. You know, we're different. We're different. That's why we believe that, yes, things are important to happen, and it's important to, like, you know, I have a life, I have to fulfill my duties in life, I have to provide for my family, but we have, like, a higher reason of being. It's, we're not on earth just for those lowly things, right? And that's why when things are taken from us and we are at a higher degree in our spirituality, like, we, of course, we react as human beings, but we don't lose our hope. We don't like, you know, lose our faith, right?
And the main difference between the Christians and the other, all religions, like what you explained, the example of the physician and you, is the goal. All these efforts are limited to their lives on earth. This is the main difference. But we are not working on that only. That's why. So everything we do has a goal. Their goal ends at their death. But our goal extends forever. This is the main difference. عشان كده احنا بالنسبة لنا كل اللي احنا بنعمله ده مش عشان حياتنا على الأرض. لا. خالص. وده الفرق بين العمل الاجتماعي والعمل الروحي. كنت جوعانا أطعمتموني، كنت عطشانا فسقيتموني، كنت، يعني عارف ازاي؟ الحاجات دي موجهة لمين؟ مش للفقير. لا. واخدين بالكم؟ ده المين؟ دي الحتة اللي موجودة في المسيحية مش موجودة في أي دين آخر خالص. طبعا إنما أنا بتكلم عن الأديان اللي هي الورشبينج والكلام ده كله. أي أبونا؟ أيوة أنا بقول ما فيش أديان. أنا ده النظرية اللي أنا بقولها. ما فيش religions, different religions. دي حاجة العقل. الإنسان هو اللي عمل لنفسه أديان. لكن ما فيش أديان خالص. even اللي هو فاكر نفسه يعني كونفوشيوسية ولا ما، حتى بدعة ماني والجنوسيس دي كانت موجودة من أيام المسيح. اللي بيعتمد على نفسهم والليفلز دي الجنوسيين دول موجودين. ده مش حاجة جديدة، مش جديدة اللي قالها الفيزيشن ده، دي متورثة من آلاف السنين. إنما even بس المين ديفرنس اللي أنا عايزة أوضحه إن our goal is not only on earth. بس يعني ده السبب ان احنا ممكن نتحمل كتير، ممكن واي عمل بنعمله for God through the children of God, through the mankind, through the creation. Thank you. تو خلصت يعني؟ وانا كل ما مرة الفتح
Sunday to be the 31st. I think it would be great height.
Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, only one God, Amen. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. By intercession of St. Mary, St. Paul, St. Anthony, St. Mina, Pope Kyrillus, may God worship you, pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us day our daily bread. Forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Go in peace, the peace of the Lord be with you.